In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hello and welcome back to the U Up Podcast. I'm Jordana Abraham.
And I am Jared Freed. Jordana, it's so good to be back here with you. How are you? What's going on?
I'm good. It looks like you've got a great freshly shaved face.
Fresh shave.
Jared for all seasons, as we say.
That's right. Fresh shave, fresh cut. I am with my family. Came down here for the Jewish holidays and hung around for a couple extra days before I go to Dallas. So just kind of hanging. What's going on with you? We have a big announcement. We should get it going, right?
Yeah. So we if you guys remember, we had a live show. I think it was back in May, and we're doing another one October 22nd. It's a Thursday night. You guys better be there.
Live online show. We have to make sure
virtual.
People.
Yeah, virtual show.
So just so everyone knows, we're not going. You know, we're not just screaming out our window. We're screaming through the computer at you. We do a great virtual show. It was so much fun the last time. We do it like our live shows. It's a virtual version of it, but I think it kept all the excitement of because we bring people on the show. We bring on people with their deal reveals and people with their, you know, dating app profile makeovers, and we take questions, you know, so it's a big, fun event, and it's virtual, so everyone can feel comfortable coming.
Yeah, so you guys should come. I thought the last one was so much fun. It's great to have people, you know, like on stage virtually. That's like one of the coolest parts of the platform that we use. So if you want your tickets, go to betches.co/uup live. And that'll also be in the link in this description. And also, if you want to come on with us, if you want to be the virtual participant, you can email your deal reveals, which are those texts that we do on most Sundays. We are doing dating apps. We're doing a dating app makeover. So submit your ship profiles because we're choosing from profiles submitted that are on ship. So if you have a ship dating app profile you want us to make over, send it in, send screenshots with a little paragraph description about what you need help with to uuplive@betches.com. That's uuplive@betches.com. Send your ship dating apps there, and we will select one or two people to come on stage with us virtually, and we will do a dating app makeover for you. I think it's going to be a great show. I'm excited.
And I think, you know, I don't want to speak for you, Jordana, but I think I have an idea of what we like as a team. We love your screenshots. We love digging into those screenshots and really breaking them down. And I think it's fun. It adds energy to it. So if you have a situation, or what usually happens, Jordana, and I don't know, why does this happen? It feels like for women, I don't have that friend that is coming up to me every 3 days with the same issues from the same person.
Yeah,
like
I do.
It feels like you do, right? So like I have like friends, but I you know, obviously I have friends, but I'm saying it feels like many of you might be sitting there going, well, I got a friend who should be sending it in. Well, maybe this is the opportunity to get them to like stop bothering you, right? Like, you know, hey, this is a problem that's meant for Jared and Jordana, right?
For sure. And we don't know you, so we don't have to worry about, you know, telling you the truth and how that might, like, I think the truth is always better than not the truth, but it can be weird if it's your friend and you're telling them something they don't want to hear. Let us tell you the thing that you don't want to hear.
And in the way that we do it, we try to, you know, kind of do it with kids' gloves, but also give you truth and honesty and make it fun. I think a lot of times, and the reason this show exists is because people are, when they ask friends for advice, they don't even trust the friends they're asking. They go, well, you knew me when I hooked up in a fraternity bathroom that one time. So you're using that against me now at 27. It's like, no, you know, maybe they are, you know, but it's like, you know, it's kind of like misinformation. It becomes this like fake news type of thing where it's like, who do you trust? And it's like, you know, you and I, we don't give a fuck. We're just,
exactly.
You know, we're talking.
That's
about,
why
you know,
the deal reveals are so great. Cause it's like, you can't, those are like, you can't really like fabricate that to make it sound the way you want to. Like, those are the texts that were sent. They're easy to interpret. It's funny that you're saying that about the advice though. Cause I remember, when I would have dating problems, I would have like a few different friends that I would talk to, and they would, it would, depending on like the kind of advice that I wanted. Like, if I wanted to be coddled and told I was right, I would go to one. If I wanted like a hard truth, I would go to another. And then there was the one that I was like always scared to talk about the same guy with, because I knew that they would be like, I've already had this conversation. Like,
sure.
A million
tough medicine friend. It's like the three bears of friends.
Exactly.
This friend is nice. This one.
This friend is yesing me. This friend is giving me hard truths.
This friend will give me the time of day. This friend will tell me that they don't want to hear about it anymore.
Exactly.
And so if you're out there, first of all, clear the schedule. Thursday, October 22nd. Thursday, October 22nd. Let me repeat. Thursday, October 22nd. We do live shows for everybody. It's meant to be bringing your friends. It's meant to make it your happy hour. What a great opportunity to have your Quarren pod or Quarren squad or whatever your group chat is that you feel comfortable with over for drinks and doing like a little something on a Thursday night. So go get your tickets now, because you know, we get a lot of people and we want to make sure we can prepare for a fun, awesome night, right?
Exactly. And they're on sale as of today at 9 a.m. So if you're listening before 9 a.m., they come out at 9 a.m. And if you're listening after 9 a.m. like a normal person, they are already on sale. So go to the link in our description of this episode.
Betches.co/UUP live. Betches.co/UUP live. It's October 22nd. I got some dates. Live ones, not just virtual. I got some live ones coming up. I am going to be in Royersford, Pennsylvania. I'm going to be in Worcester, Massachusetts. I'm going to be in Raleigh, North Carolina. I'm going to be in Kansas City, Mo. So listen, people, if you're in or around any of those areas, I'd love to have you at shows. JaredFree.com, 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 JaredFree.com. Jordana, what are we talking about today? What are we into?
Today we're talking about a very quarantine-specific issue.
Okay.
And that's,
it's funny
working.
That the, you know, some people, it's funny when we started, sorry to interrupt, because it's funny when we started doing the quarantine version of this show, and we promised, we said, we're not going to stop doing this show. We're going to do this show. We're not going to come on here and cry every week. But it's funny that we are, it's just funny that like the weather has changed. So the questions changed. Everything is relevant. You know, these dating questions change with the weather. So to say, like, you know, this is a quarantine-specific problem, but it is the problem that all of us are dealing with now. You know, like, this is a real issue. This is, you know what I mean? Like, it
exactly.
is funny.
And I have to say, anything that's an issue in quarantine will be an issue in other parts of life. It's just not quite as, like, highlighted as it is right now. That's kind of what I like about like, really living with your partner. And I think that's just really the reason it's a really good test for long-term compatibility is that like, this is as annoying as they're going to get.
Yeah. I've had many men in my life say, if you're doing well with just now living together, you're good. Like
right.
they are like sure of it. They're like, this is, and they're saying it from like their house with two kids already being like, you don't know how hard it's gonna be, you know?
Like, well, that's what I'm saying. It's like, she is now your coworker, your entire social life.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Your evening
and you're
plans.
There, yeah,
your
you're
weekend
there,
plans. Yeah.
Your weekend plans. You're their thermometer to check their extremities and how cold or hot they are.
Exactly.
You're their person to vent to. Yeah, it's all of those things. So I think this is a good topic that we're getting into.
For sure. All right. I'll read the email, but the question is generally about how to manage kind of disliking your partner's work pet personality.
Okay. Are you okay with Mike's work personality?
I have to say it's different than his normal personality. He's a
how
lot
is it
nice,
different?
He's a lot nicer to me once he finishes the job, I would say. Like during the day, I told you like in the beginning, especially I'd be like, I kind of like, talking to him and he'd have his headphones in and he'd take them out and I'd be like, it is so sunny out, and he'd be like, is that it?
Yeah, that's all you got.
I'm in
for
the middle
me?
Of something. But when he gets when he does get stressed with work, I think he's a little bit more irritable, which makes sense. And like, he needs more space. So that's something we figured out. I've never been his coworker before. He usually comes home and he's like done.
Well, here's the annoying part about working with your significant other in the same place. And this is the annoying part about living with your parents right now and working is when you're at work, everyone is at work to get home. Like, everyone is there to get their shit done to get home. When you're at home already and everyone else there is on their schedule, no one cares about your schedule as much as you. There's no teammate in this. You guys are actually not teammates because
they're not really your coworker.
Not really. It's like being in a WeWork. If you were to WeWork, the person at the other company across the hallway doesn't give a fuck that your day is getting wasted. They're done with their day. They're only going to come to you when they don't have anything to do. So if it's your mom, it's your dad, if it's your brother, if it's your girlfriend, if it's your boyfriend, it doesn't matter who it is. They're just there. Their incentive isn't the same as an actual coworker. Whereas if you guys were at the same office, you're sitting near, I'm assuming you'd be sitting near your group or the people you work with. All your goals are make money in as short a time as possible so that we can go home to the things we want to do and have fun doing the things we want to do. So right away, like your and Mike and mine and Jess and everyone listening and their person that they're living with and working around, you're on the different pages. You guys have two different goals. So it's hard already.
Yeah. And it's different. I mean, like, it's just a different, I'm sure you understand that too. It's like we have different kinds of jobs. So like one that's is a little hardest, more.
That's the hardest thing for me personally. It's like being like, Jess, quiet down. I have to make this ring light video. You know, like everything I do is very small on the, you know, in life generally, like us, you know, we're talking about dating problem. We talk about luxury issues most of the time. So, you know, it's hard to like, and I'm sure for you, you have the same thing. You're like, come on, I got this meeting about, you know, about betches, you know, like just even saying betches, like.
No, for sure. I mean, I don't know, maybe this is a thing about like my industry versus his industry or men versus women, but I feel like I've spoken to a bunch of friends about this and it seems like men are much more interested in like keeping the appearance of professionalism, like while working from home. Like he doesn't like me in the background of his Zooms. Okay. I'm like walking in the back or he's like, very intent that it's like very like, oh, look at me right now. I'm in our bedroom on a fucking moon pod on the floor, hiding from his Zoom call. Right. And for me, I'm like, oh, I don't give a shit if you're like walking around in the back of my thing. Sure. Like, it's like, this is what everyone is expected to do. And he's like very into maintaining this level of like separateness or professionalism or like hiding me from like this. Well, it's funny. Well, also, it's funny because we got, we're going to be doing a Trojan campaign coming up. Yeah. And they sent some like they got a package and I'm opening the package. And he's like, I'm about to, he literally said, we said this almost simultaneously. He said, I'm getting on a Zoom call. And I said, it's a big box of condoms. I like screamed it. And he's like, they like totally heard me. And he was like, it was like funny, but he was like, also like, it was not funny for him in any other scenario. I think it would have been.
Sure. I think there's a thing and I don't mean to make this female, but I notice it, like the idea of being friends with your coworkers, being friends with your roommates is all like very female to me. Like I have to have dinners. I have to go to dinner with this woman I worked with 10 years ago. Like I have none of that. Like I have none of that. Like, oh, I got to catch up with it. Like it feels like women feel this need to like have, you know, and I don't think that's a bad thing. I just think it's like, just the human nature part of it, like this group, like liked by the people at work, and I think for him, it would make sense to me. Like, hey, I got A plus B equals C. These people are the people. You know, it's more of a mathematical equation than like for him, like any source or ability for those people to look and be like, well, I guess he doesn't take it seriously. It's like, will not be taken account of. It's not like he has this other, you know, I don't know. Does that make any sense?
Yeah. And I also think he works for like in a more corporate job.
That's big.
Where
that's
like
you.
There's a little less fucking around.
yeah. Yeah. We have condoms isn't necessarily something, you know, like, they how hear does HR hand, yeah, how does
financial
HR handle
accounting
that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I kind of have that with Jess too. She's in a more structured corporate world, way more. I mean, anything is more corporate. You're more corporate than me, and you're getting the same, you know, like, right, box of condoms. So I do have that thing where she's like, get out of the way. And I, like, come in, I'm like, hey. And she's like, and I'm like, okay, they're going to get over that I'm in the back. You know, you're at home. If you're on TikTok like me, I'm sure you've seen people obsessing over Sol de Janeiro and their perfume mists. Sol de Janeiro's fragrances are inspired by cheirosa, a Portuguese word that means to smell incredibly delicious. Designed by master perfumers, their fragrances are unique and complex. They incorporate high-quality floral, amber, and wood notes with gourmand undertones for a completely immersive fragrance experience. And believe me, they are worth the hype. Cheirosa 62 Perfume Mist, this scent brings the warm feeling of summer to you no matter the season, with silky vanilla, subtle florals, and creamy sandalwood for a beachy vibe anytime. It brightens your day. And you got to use the products at night. Go out, get your sexy on, get dressed up. I love these mists. And if you've been wanting to try these viral products yourself, there's never been a better time. Right now, Sol de Janeiro is offering listeners 10% off on their first order on soldejaneiro.com and free shipping with code UUP10. That's soldejaneiro.com, promo code UUP10. Soldejaneiro.com, promo code UUP10. It feels like I've tried every trick in the book to get better sleep. Cutting out late night snacks, no TikTok before bed. But let's be real, I'm going to keep scrolling. What did elevate my bedtime routine? Upgrading my bedding to Bowl and Branch. And right now you can take 20% off their selection of buttery soft sheets, airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and so much more. Upgrade your bedding now and thank me later. I have the Bowl and Branch sheets. Other than being beautiful, they are so comfortable. They're hotel quality. You're going to sleep better. And here's the trick. Take your Bowl and Branch sheets, put them in the wash, then make the bed and get directly into that hot bed. You're going to have the best sleep of your life. Made from the rarest 100% organic cotton and completely free from toxins, it's easy to see why Bowl and Branch are loved by millions of sleepers. These best-selling sheets feel incredible on night one and get softer and softer for years to come. Bowl and Branch signature sheets come in 14 versatile colors in all sizes, from twin up to California King, and they offer a 30-night worry-free guarantee, so you can wash, style, and sleep in their sheets for an entire month. If you don't love them, you can send them right back. Sleep better with the softest, most breathable bedding from Bowl and Branch. Get 15% off your order when you use promo code UUP at bowlandbranch.com. That's Bowl and Branch, bowlandbranch.com. Promo code UUP. Exclusions apply. See site for details. Let's hear this people's problem.
I thought this email was pretty interesting. So she writes, J&J, love the podcast, desperately need your help. My boyfriend and I don't live together, but have been spending significantly more time together since we both started working remotely. We'll have work night sleepovers and spend the day working from the same apartment. I love this quality time and love playing house, quote unquote. However, COVID has opened my eyes to how he performs throughout his day, and I'm shocked. He's usually so logical and easygoing. He always has a calming way about him. But I've seen that he becomes so stressed with work and negative feedback from his boss that during his workday, he'll take a break and start crying. I've offered every type of support I can think of. I've listened, I've validated, I've problem solved, I've hugged, all of which are temporary fix. But the next day, the same thing happens again. I feel helpless and incredibly frustrated. What would you do if your partner was this unhappy with his or her work situation? How do you deal with being a fly on the wall and witnessing your partner's work habits? Thanks for all you do. Look forward to hearing your input. Fly on the COVID work wall.
This is a tough one. I feel for everyone involved in this situation. Like, yeah, there isn't one I feel for him. He obviously hates his job and is dealing with some, you know, dealing with a mentally stressful work environment. I deal for her because it's like, what else can she do? What right. do you think about this? What do you think about when you first hear? And also the gender dynamics here. Like, I you know, this isn't fair, but like a guy, you don't, you know, I don't know. Is he a guy that cries at work? I'm wondering if that's
right. Like, I wonder if he would actually be crying if he were at at work. I know, I mean, like, it's totally fine to cry over like something work related, but like, obviously you wouldn't, I feel like it's a little less appropriate to do that in an office than you would in your own home.
For anybody. And, right. And I don't even, you know, so this is hard. What would you do? What do you think?
I mean, it seems like she's really trying like a lot of things, and I can understand even, I mean, I'm sure even if it were the not like a sex thing, if it was her crying all the time and him just kind of being there, I can understand that feeling of like helplessness. And also like we've got to make a move here so that like this isn't like, you don't want to tell someone like what to do, but clearly if someone's in a job where they're crying in the middle of the day and extremely stressed out, it's probably not the best job for them, but you can only control someone's job to the extent that like you can do exactly what she's doing, hug and listen and validate and problem solve and all that shit.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to, I mean, I wouldn't want to date someone where I had to become their like coach throughout the day during work. I would wonder how they got through a day at work without me there. If they're just doing that because now that we're at home, they have someone to go to.
It's on their side. Yeah.
Yeah. So sometimes this all happens because you have the ability to do it. You have the ability for someone to like agree with you or, you know, be the shoulder that you cry on. So like, I don't know if they're crying at work and this is just a home thing. It's, you know, and also I wouldn't want to date someone or be in a situation where they aren't trying to help themselves.
I think that's a big part of this, because it's kind of like, think about almost like any other scenario that's stressful. It's not like, this seems like it's just a quarantine issue, but it really could be related to anything else. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, let's say you have a kid together and they're just like stopping in the middle of the day to break down and cry because it's stressful. It's kind of like, this is sort of a little bit of how they deal with stressful situations. So I do think part of it is like, you have to either like accept that that's how they deal with that, or maybe like kind of tell them like, listen, like I feel terrible for you. Like, I feel like bad that this is the situation you're in. Like, how can I help you like get out of this situation?
Well, I feel bad.
Or make the situation better.
Sure. I feel bad for her because in this situation, and I've been there where it's like, you do get in your own head. You're like, am I doing enough? Am I being empathetic enough? When am I being cold versus when am I being lazy versus when am I being really helpful? Am I doing, because it's, there's no thing to like, there's no, you know, scale to judge it on. Like, I'll give you an example. Jess will say to me, I have a headache. And
I
have a headache. She'll say, I have a headache. And I'll go, have you had water? And she'll go, yeah, I've had water. Okay, take a nap. I'm not tired. Okay, I'm out of ideas. Like, that's it. That's all I got. Like, I don't know. There's a point where I go, I got Tylenol, I got water, I got lay down, I've got, you know, stop looking at screens. I'm not a fucking doctor.
Right. Or, you know, or you could just say, like, is there anything I can do?
That might be the better way to go. But I'm saying, like, I think, so, like, I guess, like, a lot of men, and I'm the way where I'm like, I can help you fix her, or I can do nothing. You know, like, and sometimes people come to you with their problems just to be heard. And that is another way to be a good partner, I would think. Like, you know, sometimes I'll talk about something very small, like a negative Instagram comment. And to her, it's very small, but I'm like, all I just want to do is air it out to you so I can have you go, mm-hmm. Like, that's sometimes all
people
need. They
just want someone to listen to you, yeah.
Yeah. Like,
which
it's
it
like
sounds like she's doing, but it's kind of like every day, so I can see how that would wear on a person.
Totally. That's why I'm kind of, I understand why she's even writing in, because it's like, okay, I've done it once, I've done it twice, now it's happening again and again. We're doing a noontime cry session, you know, like, tears at 2 in our house every day. Like, I would be like, okay, what are you doing to fix this on your own? I'm doing everything as a partner, but it's like, have you looked for jobs? Are you looking for something new that will make you happier? Are you so frustrated with all of this? Is it that life is happening and that you want to get out of this thing too? Like, maybe being in a relationship is too much for him. You know,
I mean, that's possible, although I'm sure he's like comforted by having like something good in his life. If I were her, I would ask him, like, what makes you so like, what makes you so emotional about this? What makes you so like sad? Like, cause that's clearly like the root of it is like that, like there's some trigger for him in this work stuff that makes him sort of like unable to function or having to break down. And then I would lead into like, I want to help you. Nothing seems to be working, but like, how can I help you fix this problem?
Yeah. And you know, is helping you just listening to you? Is that really helping you?
Yeah. Like, what do you need? What would make you feel better from me?
Yeah. I guess it's hard when someone's unhappy with their work situation. It's like they do, you know, I would get annoyed because it's like, you know, the other thing is what a lot of people do with their work is they'll, and this is just everyone, is they'll complain about it on a Monday and then everything's okay on Friday.
So that happens like with a lot of relationships too.
Sure. And but it becomes, it's like, listen, is this just a Monday complaint or is this a real job complaint? Because I can't deal with this every Monday if every Friday is, hey, kicking back. I love my coworkers. I love my job. You know, like that's annoying to me. Like,
no, I agree. I think the headache example is good. I'll give you another example with Mike where he'll like complain that his back hurts. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So his back hurts. I was able to like potentially get like a chair because we have one chair and it's like a little bit more aesthetically pleasing than it is like comfortable. I'm like, we can get this chair. We had a car for a while. I'm like, we can go like take this chair and it's like a much better back support chair. And he's like, oh, I don't really think that's necessary. I like the chair, blah, blah. And then every night he would complain, my back hurts, you know, like I need, like he would just constantly complain about it. And I would say eventually I'd be like, you need to go to a chiropractor,
yeah,
or we can get this chair, or I don't really want to hear about it anymore because I've offered you two solutions that you're not taking my advice. So I'm just listening to complain about this thing that I've offered very logical solutions to. So like either keep quiet about the back or let's go like fix it together.
You're nailing it because that's exactly that's right on point with Monday problems versus Friday problems. You know, like he says his back hurts. You've given a couple solutions. He's done nothing to fix it. Oh, my God, my back hurts. I've already heard that complaint. I'm sorry. I don't know what else I can do for you. And this is the same for work people. I hate my job on Monday. Oh, Wednesday was a good day. Friday, I love the people I work with. Okay, Monday, I hate my job. No. You were good on Friday. You didn't make any effort to look for a new job Tuesday through Friday. So who can I connect you to? If you want connects, if you want people in a certain industry that I can help, you know, set you up with emails, these are, you know what I mean? Like it's, I think we're both saying the same thing with different examples as far as like, is this just something to complain about or is this a real issue to you? And usually people lose weight when the pants don't fit. So sometimes,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah. So sometimes maybe the pants just don't, or maybe the pants still fit. Maybe Mike's back doesn't hurt that much. Maybe, you know, this person's job isn't so bad.
It's like when someone says they're hungry and you're like, here, have a fruit. And they're like, I don't want that. But it's like, if you were hungry enough, you'd eat it. So, then,
so you're
like,
not starving.
Right.
You're hungry and you'd like to eat something of that you have your choosing. So give us some solutions to this. Yeah. Have you ever, so what would you do? Would you be turned off if you saw that Mike have a 2 o'clock tear fest?
I might be. I've never seen him do that, but if I can imagine a situation where I might be, especially if it were like daily, if it were one time, I think because he's so unlikely to do that, I'd be like really concerned.
Sure.
Cause like his reactions
must be
right. I would think it was something deeper than that. If it was constant, I think that would probably not be a turnoff just cause that would tell me that that's sort of like how he deals with his issues in some way.
Cause it sounds like they're pretty, it sounds like they're early. Like it sounds like they're having, she says, I love playing house, which I mean, I don't know if I can eye roll my eyes enough at that, but, she says, I love playing house, which is, but when you're playing house, you're seeing how this person plays house. So, you know, there's no wrong reason to end a relationship. I think like a lot of these emails come in with like checking with us to be like, oh, you can dump anybody for any reason you want. You can say, hey, I don't like how they react to stress. That's not what I want in a partner. it was nice to meet you. There's things I'm going to take away from this, but I'm just not going to be in this. And that's fine. But, you know, for her, you know, for her, she has to come to terms with, yeah, this isn't just a COVID thing, even though you're witnessing it. You're going to deal with someone who may need help getting through certain things in life or may need to seek counseling if this is such a huge thing.
Right. They might need some stress management lessons, perhaps with a therapist.
I mean, as a boss, have you had people come to you crying and do you have to like, have you had to deal with that?
I've seen that before. I get it. Things are stressful. But again, like I always just try to figure out like I'm like solution oriented. So it's like, let's figure out how to fix this. But if it's like constant, I think that's like a bigger issue. And then again, like for me, would I be turned off? Maybe that's part of it. But again, the bigger I think issue would be like, all right, I'm thinking like about more stressful situations in our life to come that are maybe like I'm more directly impacted by. Like, again, what if you have a kid? What if you have a kid that's sick? Mm-hmm. What if you have, you know, someone loses a job, something like that? It's like, is this person working to like fix their issues or are they kind of like breaking down and like
and just
unable to move? Yeah.
Yeah, they're just a puddle. No, I'm with you. Like, I'm with you. Like, it's like, and this could be as little as like, you know, you guys fly. So, you know, it's funny that like before COVID, it'd be like, you got to travel together to know each other. Now it's like, you got to work together 24 hours a day and then you know each other. And it's like, you know, even when I would travel and, you know, bring Jess along and, you know, go to like a weekend to do shows, like flight got delayed. She'd go, all right, let's go find somewhere to sit. That's the difference to me. Like, would be turned off if someone just cried midday every day and they did nothing to fix it. If you cry once, of course, I'm your partner. I'm going to let's figure this out together. Right. But I'm with you. I totally agree. I like if I'm this person, are they working at it? Be independent of you.
Right. Are they trying to figure out how to not live this life every day?
Yeah. Or are you just there? You know, when you mentioned the friends, the three bears of friends, are they just your friend that's a constant person asking you to, you know, prop them up? And I don't think any of us have the energy for that anymore.
I agree.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's do some awkward sex.
Let's
you ready?
Do it. I'm ready.
UUP at Betches.com. UUP at Betches.com. Hi, J&J. Obsessed with the pod and learned something new about the male brain pretty much every week. Boy, a real dissection going on for this person. Because of this, I was reminded of an awkward sexual encounter I had and thought I'd share. A few years back, my ex and I were getting closer and closer in bed one night. One thing led to another, and he began to finger me.
Ooh.
I love how she writes this. It's just such a like on the she's not going to be a romance novelist anytime soon. Ready? One thing led to another.
She didn't really build that up there. Yeah.
No. You know, one thing led to another and he fingered me. I like that I'm one door away from my parents in the house. One thing led to another and he fingered me.
There we go.
I love reading these in a Jewish woman's accent. One thing led to another, and he began to finger me. I relaxed as I was enjoying the moment. Like that.
Stop! I'm getting like visions of someone at temple. Like,
okay, sorry, sorry. I'm in the spirit. I relaxed as I was enjoying the moment, and I accidentally relaxed too much and farted. I was so incredibly embarrassed. I was instantly tense. The moment was over. It's funny that she went from relaxed to tense right away. Just
that's what happens when you relax too much.
That's right. I'm so sorry, I said. That's so embarrassing. Oh, my God. It's okay. No big deal, he said reluctantly. Are you sure, she said. Oh, my God. I can't believe I did that. And now I've made you uncomfortable, I replied. Then he said, no, really, it's fine. I just didn't know girls did that. And immediately I was no longer the embarrassing one of the situation. I could not believe it. He really didn't think girls farted. Not to mention this guy was studying biology in college and headed to medical school right after graduation. Anyways, years later, I can't help but think about that moment every once in a while and usually bust out laughing at the whole thing. Hope it made you guys laugh too. Thanks for solving dating. Keep doing what you do sincerely. The fart wasn't even the worst part. What is worse?
Wow.
Do you believe that he didn't know women could fart, or do you think that was
I think men do this like thing, which is like they've got to stop doing, which is like girls don't shit, girls don't fart, like, and that's like their like little joke.
Mm-hmm.
Or something, and like that I don't, or like their way of like keeping you on this like pedestal, which I do find annoying because it's like it makes you feel like you literally can't do that. I've heard guys say that before, like women don't do that. It's like, you know, they do, and by saying that it almost like perpetuates this image of like these women having to be like perfect and like hide these things, which everyone does.
Sure, I agree, and I know the type of joke that you're talking about. I know when men do it, it always sounds off, like it, because it's also an old hacky joke, you know,
right?
Like,
it's not even particularly funny,
or particularly interesting or creative at this point. We've seen, you know, the women don't fart thing has been done to the nth degree. To this point, you're revealing yourself as a mimic. You know, like you're not even like, it's like when you see, and this happens a lot on, you know, Instagram, Twitter. Sometimes I'll just see a joke, quote unquote, that is just Mad Libs. They just filled in the parts. They'll be like, you know, apple, you know, avocado toast, you know,
men be like
men be like avocado toast, you know. Yeah it's
right.
Just like they took all the, it's like those magnets that are on the fridge that when they just took the words and put them all together in a way that we've already heard before. So like I always think less of that person when they do that joke, and I think less of the guy. And listen, I understand we can turn into this into like men fucking suck. No, men do this and it's annoying. I agree. I'm with you.
Right. Yeah. I mean, like, I agree. That's kind of like, he could have like made it like funny or like seemed like, I guess, cause she said he was like reluctantly, like it's fine or something like that. I think he was
sure.
I would be turned off by his like inability to sort of get over it in like a more like a fun way.
Listen, I'm with you. The joke is more revealing than him thinking. Let's start in a world where there's no way he doesn't know women fart. Like, that's just not possible. Like, I understand she's like, he's going to med school. He didn't know. Like,
yeah, no, he knows, obviously.
He knows, and also she's a part of this joke issue, too. You know, like, I don't mean to, like, blame the emailer, but, like, we have to stop laughing at these things so that we can, like, you know, shake these things out of our society. So like I'm a little bit blaming the fart victim in this situation, but
I don't mean to.
I'm just saying, like, when someone, it's like when someone does an office, like someone does a line from The Office to me.
Okay.
You know, I don't go, ah, no, I go, yeah, I've seen it. I'm going to help you shake this bad habit, you know. So like I'm not gonna go, oh, Andy, you know, like, oh, Michael from The Office, I've heard that line. No, heard it, saw it, move
not
on,
not react.
Yeah, I'm the Ariana Grande of you bombing. So I think that's part of it too, but at the same time, it's like, you know, he knows women farts, let's stop with that,
right? I think it's okay, though, to be turned off by, like, that reaction to it. Yeah.
I'm more turned off by the lack of creativity and the lack of, like, vulnerability. Like, when you say, it's actually not vulnerable to make that joke.
Right. It's basically, it's almost like kind of a shaming thing in a way.
Yeah,
like
you did what you shouldn't have done. It's like, no, she can fart, she shits, she diarrheas, she fucking eats cheese and has to do that on the regular. Like, it's
especially when it's so clear that she was like very clearly already embarrassed by it. It's not like she was like, there's another one, and then she like kept going or something like that in a way that was like so shameless. Like, she already felt embarrassed about doing this thing, but that reaction is just like, I feel like it's like a dick reaction to someone who's showing you that they're like, they're self-conscious about what just happened.
Totally. Like, it would have been a better reaction. Like, I'm trying to think of how I would react, and I would laugh because it is funny. Like, right. Laughing.
Who are
like,
you? You're the farter.
Well, if I was, I'm always the farter. I'm laughing after every fart I do. Don't get me wrong.
I mean, if Jess was the farter,
I would go, oh my God, now bigger. Like I think you got to like yes and it. Like, there's an improv right. rule where it's like, you know, you don't say, you always agree and add on. So right. that's like the first and only rule of improv is like, you say something and, you know, you tell me, oh my God, I farted. And I go, yeah, and it was the biggest fart. And it smelled like cheese. You know, like, that's funnier than
I'm going on
women
a picnic.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I brought. You heard that one, you know, where it's like the kids' game?
No. Oh, I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. And everyone says what they brought and then what the previous person brought too.
Yeah, it's a lot like that. and it's like, you know, it's not funny. It's not good improv to fart and then have the person go, women don't fart. Like, that's no but.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean,
if it were me, I feel like I would be like, oh my God, this is like so embarrassing. Well, like, I guess we're like, you know what I mean? Then make like a little bit of a joke. I think she was almost like too apologetic. Like, she didn't need to be that apologetic, but like, it's fine if she was. She's being a little vulnerable.
Well, her saying, it's okay. I'm so sorry. That's so embarrassing. Oh my God. It's okay. Right. No big deal. Like, that's kind of a weird way for him to react. And then she goes, are you sure? Okay. You don't have to ask if he's sure. Like, obviously, right. Like, obviously he's not sure if he, you know, I would make a joke out of it that would be more fun than him. But I'm not trying to like pat myself on the back, but I think there's a better way to go about it. I'm with you. Like, there's a comic I know that is very political. And I remember I opened for this comic. They're very political. It was a one-time thing I opened for them. And I don't want to name names because whatever. But I remember they did a joke that politically I don't agree with. But they were doing their political jokes. Good for them. The crowd was very much on the side of their political jokes. And then one of the people in the audience screamed out something like about one of like, you know, person from the other side of the aisle that they hated. And I remember the comic was like, shut the fuck up. Like, you're a hack. Like, and it's funny. Like, he was more a comedian than he was political, you know, like at mm-hmm. this point. And it's like, in this instance, it's like, I'm more like on the side of like being fun. We should all be more on the side of like fun and hilarious than the side of women don't fart. Like, that's crazy. Yeah.
I think that one's that joke is old anyway. So let's stop doing that one. What would you call this one?
I'd call it women do fart. No, no, I
very to the point.
Yeah, no, I would call it the button pusher because he was fingering her and she got okay. relaxed. The button pusher, I would call it
I called it pull my finger.
That's funny. I like that. I would call it the doofus because he doesn't know that women don't fart. I don't know. It's red flag or deal breaker. You're hooking up with a guy, you are giving him a hand job, and then all of a sudden you pulled something loose and he farts.
It's fine.
It's fine.
I think
right?
it would, yeah, as long as he's like, it's like, as long as it's funny, then it's fine.
Yeah.
I think, yeah. Same situation with you. If he, again, I think for this situation, the bigger deal breaker is the way he reacts, is what he said about it.
Yeah. And I, you know, for me, the only deal breaker would be like, are you sure? Oh my God, are you sure? Are you sure? Like, after I went along with it, I'd be like, yeah, like, what do you want me to do? Like, you know, suck it out of your ass? Like, I'm sure. I loved it. Go. Let's, you know, like.
Let's my
let's
turn.
Do this thing. Yeah, but now I can fart. You know, like, if anything, it frees me up. UUP at Betches.com. UUP at Betches.com. Let's do an email. You ready?
All right. J&J, I have a very tough issue that I would love your perspective on. I'm a 33-year-old guy that has been in a relationship with my 29-year-old girlfriend for almost 2 years now. We have started having a discussion about our future, and we both agree that an engagement is on the horizon. However, there's been an issue recently regarding careers that makes me a little worried. About a year into us dating, my girlfriend switched fields and started working in tech. She currently makes a little over the entry-level salary for her company, which is still really good. I'm a doctor, and without sounding distasteful, I make over 8 times her salary. Not that you've calculated.
Mazel tov. Yeah.
Not that you've calculated it or anything.
Beep, boop,
I did the math.
Boop, boop. Yeah, he's literally on the computer. Move the 8, factor the 4, 8 times. 8 times more. Yeah.
She recently expressed to me that she would eventually want to stop working whenever we got married. Her rationale is that her income is so insignificant compared to mine that it would not matter with combined finances. I personally was always attracted to her career aspirations, and I believe that her field has a lot of vertical mobility and she isn't taking into consideration. I can't help but feel a little turned off by the idea, and I don't know how to express this to her. Even if she were to stay at her level, that extra money could be put towards college funds for our children or invested. How can I tell her my concerns in a productive way? I feel like I'm teetering on the edge of a double standard that really hasn't been covered by all on this podcast. A lot of women write in about their male partner's aspirations, but never the females.
I have to say, I love this email. It's very 2020. It kind of flips everyone's kind of preconceived notions on its head of like how, you know, there's the... Listen, I'm not here to say that this doesn't exist, but I think it's a very big thing that gets said to us on this show is that he's intimidated by my success.
Right.
Right? That's like a big...
This is the opposite.
This is the total opposite. So, and I relate more to this emailer than the... Like, I know... I'm not saying that there aren't those men out there that are like intimidated by a woman's success. I'm very aware that that person exists. I am way more towards this guy's side of the aisle than that guy. I think that this is actually a big issue. I've dated women where I thought they were working and doing certain careers before, you know, and that was what made me attracted to them, and then realized it wasn't what it wasn't about money and how much they made, but right. It was about their excitement and their work, you know, habits. And again, this kind of goes back to the first email where it's like just seeing their drive and how they did their day to day might not have been the same as, or I've also dated girls longer because of their drive and their aspirations like that. So like I'm with this guy in hearing this email. What do you think?
Mm-hmm. I think it's totally okay, and I don't think this is even like a per sex specific thing, but I think it's totally okay to be turned off by someone's lack of career excitement or motivation that way. I think anything, whether that's having friends or a job that you like, anything that kind of shows that you have a life outside of the person is hot, is exciting. And I think that like to be turned off isn't like a sexist thing or a weird thing, and I don't think you have to necessarily say it by that like that but I think you have every right to say like it's not really about like can we afford for you not to work, it's about like this other level of like, well, I want to come home and I want to have something to talk to you about that's not like,
well,
you just not doing much all day just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Sure. I'm with you 100%. I also think the thing that you're touching on a little bit is that It's not that she doesn't want to work. It's her reasoning for it. Like the reasoning where he's like, wow, this feels like, to me, it would sound like an excuse. Like if someone said like, hey, I've always wanted to be a stay-at-home mom, I'd be like, good for you. That's great. That's like
right. You knew that from the beginning.
I know that from the beginning. Or, hey, I've been thinking a lot about this. I really, that's, I aspire to like take care. I'd be like, good for you. There's, I don't think there's wrong in that, but to me, her rationale sounds a little bit like a workaround, right? Doesn't it sound like her rationale is that her income is so, oh, it's nothing. It's like a dollar is more than $0. So it's something.
Right.
You know, like I would be annoyed at the reasoning she gave more because it seems dishonest to me.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if this is a female thing or a person thing, but and you can tell me if that's the case. But like, I feel like in my and a lot of the people I know's ideal scenario, and maybe this is like anti-feminist, is that we would like, we want to work, but we don't want to have to work.
Sure.
If that makes sense.
I think that's most people is like you.
Maybe that's
like,
most people.
I think that's what makes, I think work is fun when you don't have to be doing it. And I think work is a burden when it's like, and listen, 95% of the people who listen to this show, 98%, like they have, you know, like I'll take my situation for instance. I'm not going on the road, you know, to do shows for my own, you know, ego. You know, like I'm doing it because that's a part of my, like the way I, you know, make my income and I'm able to live, you know, so, but right. I enjoy doing it at the same time. So like I found a place where like I love working because, but also I have to work, you know, like it's not like, you know, like I, you know, I'm, there's been like a lot of feedback towards comics who are going on the road and it's like, where they say like, well, you know, everyone should stop. It's like, well, there's people that like literally like
need it, right?
Need to go do something. And if people are willing to, no one's forcing anyone to buy tickets, like whatever. But if it's like, I, you know, sometimes I look at that and it's always someone who's like sells out arenas.
Trust
and
you're fund,
like,
baby.
Yeah. Or like right. something like that, where they're like, hey, we should be all at home. And it's like, yeah, don't you have residuals from the sitcom that you wrote? Like, and it's pretty easy to say.
For you to say.
It's easy for you to say. So like, it's kind of back to the situation where it's like, you know, the way she's saying it and that perspective of like, I want to work, but I want to have to work is like, that's a privilege, you know, like that's
definitely.
And,
yeah.
And also that comes with working with your partner to be like, how are we, you know?
Right. Plus, even I think even if you could make all the money in the relationship, I'd think that that adds an extra burden to your life of being like, I am the sole person responsible for this entire future family. Even if you could do it, I think is like a lot of pressure to put someone to assume that they're like ready and willing and able to like take on that role, I think is a little selfish.
Different stress. And yeah, I think it becomes more selfish when you say it the way he's presented it. I don't know how true it is. You know, like the way he's presented it is, well, it's so insignificant. I won't matter. I'll just stay home. It's like, there's another way to put this where it's like, I want to stay, like, right. I want to stay, if we were to have kids, I want to be home with them. I don't want to have a sitter. I don't want to have a nanny or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I want to be, that's a different way to say it that I could be like, okay, we're now it's like we're a team. It's not like I'm, you know, you're looking for,
right.
You know, hanging out.
Do men have this fear with a lot of women that they'll like kind of.
Well, I sometimes the answers are in the emails and I say that all the time. And there's something very specific that he wrote. That like, you know, we made fun of it in the beginning where he's like, I make 8 times as much as her. And it's like, I'm not here to like blame him, but I'm saying he did write it. So that is on his mind. It's like, oh, now I'm going to be floating the boat for this freeloader. And it's like, you know, that's part of this conversation too. Like if he's feeling that way, then maybe you don't trust the person enough to be with them.
Right. Well, the way he's presented her kind of sounds a little bit like she like maybe had more career aspirations and then like working is hard. I can see like how if you met someone where like you didn't have to do this guy from the first email we did met someone where he could just quit this shitty job that he has and then find something he likes, not have to worry about any of the financial issues. I can totally see how that seems like an appealing thing.
Yeah.
But I think it's for him. I would just talk to her about it. I would say like, hey, like I have to be totally honest. Like something that I always found really attractive about you was this idea that you like really had this big life outside of me and wanted and had these big career aspirations. And like, to me, that's a big part of what attracts me to you.
Yeah. I would also challenge her version of it. Like, I think it's okay to say, hey, I don't really buy that rationale. Like, mm-hmm. If someone was like, like when someone says to me, like, no, who needs this money? I would go, I'd like to take more vacations. I'd like to not pay for everything. I'd like to, I could give seven different reasons that rationale is not very good. And right. She might be saying it. And also, like, he kind of writes her. He doesn't write her well. If this was a script,
right? He doesn't make her sound amazing.
He doesn't make her sound great. So I have to, assume that I'm going by what he wrote, but I would assume that, like, there to me, if someone's speaking that way, maybe they're afraid of saying the truth, which is, I'd like to be a stay at home mom. Sometimes that's like, I would understand that that's a scary thing to tell a partner.
Yeah, it's not really a good 2020 look to say that. To be totally honest about that.
Sure.
I mean, it's okay if that's what you want to do. But I think that he's kind of like, she flipped it on. Like, she originally seemed like she was really into this career.
Sure.
And then, like, suddenly decides she's, like, willing to give it all up, like, immediately.
Well, I could understand also that they start dating. She's this, like, motivated person. Then he's making, he or she, this could be male or female. You just get used to living the life of eight times your salary.
Right.
So now that you've had it eight times your salary, you're like, and what do we need that for? It's like, no, yeah. We need it all. Like, we need more and extra. We don't need, I can understand where he's
for
like,
sure. Yeah,
like, I can understand where, like, it can happen that way, where you're like, someone gets used to, I got dinner, I got lunch. No, I understand. You don't stop paying. And it's like, and then the person's motivations change. Yeah, maybe the relationship has lost its course and maybe you need to end it at that point.
Right. And I mean, from a feminist perspective, and I don't know if this is what he should say to her, because I don't think it'll bring the conversation into, like, the best direction. But what I would advise to her or any woman is, what if you get married, you quit your job, and then this person leaves you and you're back to zero salary because you don't have any, like, that's just a bad, like, life decision. You're getting, like, there's no insurance against this. The relationship is now going to be, like, entirely supporting you. You're not. Well, that's not like an empowered way to live.
No, it doesn't sound that way. I'm with you. That would scare me as being him. I mean, this guy, the way he wrote this last sentence, got a lot of women listening, a little moist downstairs. I can't help but feel, even if she were to stay at her level, that extra money could be put towards college funds for our children or invested. Like, everyone listening was like, oh, he's thinking ahead,
Oh, I was thinking if I was making money that I didn't need to live, I would just use it on, like, my own personal shopping and stuff. Saving for the college kids.
Yeah. Colleges are done. The bubble's going to pop. Let's do some, let's play some games.
Let's do it.
Red flag deal breaker. Okay. Does their fantasy draft on your first date? What do you think? that's brutal.
I would say dates 1-7 deal breaker.
1-7. Date 8, you're like, bring the draft out. We'll get
Wayne. I'm like, all right, like, at that point I feel like we could be hanging out in an apartment. If he's like, I need like half an hour to do this draft, I'd probably be like, okay. First few dates, it's like, why did you ask me out on this night?
Well, let me pay attention to me.
let me
change it a little bit. Ready?
Okay.
Hey, Jordana, I know we have a date set up tonight. Can we switch it? My fantasy draft is tonight. I can't switch it. Would you be okay? Can we do next Tuesday instead of tonight?
How much? Today you're giving me that excuse?
I guess not. I guess it's a deal.
I'd be a little turned off by the fact that it was that night rescheduling, because you probably would have known about that for a little longer.
Let's say, hey, Jordana, tomorrow night's my fantasy draft. I totally screwed up the calendar. Can we do the night after instead?
That's fine.
Because here's the thing about a fantasy draft. It is getting 12 people's calendars on the same page. So, yeah. If someone canceled on me, was like, hey, tomorrow night it won't work because of my fantasy draft, I'd go, got it. Totally understand that this is a tough schedule. It's easier to schedule with me than it is 12 people. But I'm with you. Day of is bullshit because not all fantasy drafts are made at least a week in advance. So I can understand that you would forget. That's what I would understand.
I agree. Yeah. One reschedule. But if they went on the date and then were just like, sorry, yeah, no. I need 25 minutes to an hour to do this, I would be out.
Kept one headphone in to hear like the ding for when their pick came up. Yeah. No good. Let's do another.
Okay. They will only allow the cardboard environmentally friendly toilet paper in their home, and they don't let you flush unless it's number two.
I'm out. I don't need to
both
be,
or one or the other.
Both. You got to leave me alone for my poops. I can't be, you know, bleeding all over my underwear because we're trying to help a koala bear in Australia. I can't. I'm sorry. What do you think?
I think I'd be out. I just don't think that we would be a match because, like, I think I would do a lot of other stuff that annoyed them on the environmental side. Not that I'm like the worst person for the environment, but I couldn't deal with someone like constantly checking my like carbon footprint.
Yeah. It's an annoying thing, and no one wants to deal with that. And yeah, no, I'd be.
Or there's other people out there who would love that shit. They should like date them.
Sure. I'd rather know right away, though. Like, I'd be like, hey, I'm going to the bathroom. And they could be like, here, you got to use my toilet paper. Like, they should go around with their toilet paper so that everyone knows. We should know first date. That should be a thing that you put on the dating app. Like, your asshole is going to bleed when you sleep over.
Annoying about stupid shit that doesn't matter. Check yes.
Yeah. Let's do one more.
Okay.
Hi, J&J. I've been dating a guy for 3 months. I'm 29. He's 32. He has an annoying habit. Whenever we sit together on the couch, he moves my hand to his crotch. Oh, my God. Sometimes it's when I'm touching his thigh, but other times I'm on my phone or mid-sentence when he grabs my hand and puts it there. It's not only physically uncomfortable to be constantly rubbing his dick, but these interruptions also feel pretty rude. To give you more context.
I'll say. Yeah. I'm on the phone with my grandma.
Yeah, like... He doesn't even know who's on the phone. To give you more context on us, we have a solid amount. We have a solid amount, 3 to 4 times a week of really great sex, have a lot of shares interests, and spend hours making each other laugh. I'm not sure if I want to be with a guy long term yet, but a lifetime of crotch rubbing doesn't sound great. He recently did this at the movies during a particularly emotional scene. I just felt very disappointed. Is this just a phase? Should I ignore it or accept my inevitable carpal tunnel? What's the right way to approach this conversation? So, and she wrote, keep up the great work, The Handmaid. I love that.
Oh my God.
What do
you
think?
That would annoy me too. You're at the movies. It's The Notebook. It's the romantic scene.
I need to know if this is a joke to him. And I know someone might be listening going, well, that's a shitty joke. Fine. But I agree.
You maybe was into it for a certain period of time.
It is. I mean, I'm laughing at this. It doesn't. I can understand someone, their feedback being like, this is not consensual. This is him forcing himself on his significant other. I could understand that. That's a very serious road to go down that this obviously is on.
Right.
I'm just saying, they're together, and it's like, is he smiling when he does this? Is it like a big joke that she doesn't like the joke? Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I think it'd be a deal breaker for me. It would just be like not the kind of necessarily like the relationship I'd want to have. And if I would say it to him in the way that like she said it to us, like I was really, it's like disappointing. You're like,
yeah,
this is like
yeah.
A romantic,
not mad, I'm disappointed.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, I felt like worse for her. Because she didn't say I'm mad. She's just like, this is like disappointing. Like, this is like a nice romantic moment. And you're like ruining it by making it about like sex. And it's kind of like crude.
Yeah.
I would say that. It would be like, it's disappointing for me when you do that. It doesn't make me feel like there's any romance in our relationship.
I'm with you. Saying it that way, if she chooses to communicate it. If not, if she's like, I want to dump this guy. Yeah, dump him. Like, right. I'm not.
I would give him the benefit of the doubt of like maybe thinking you like it perhaps. But if I think say it to him one time, I don't really like when you do this, especially like on occasion, it's fine. But like in the right moment, and when you do it, like not in the right moment, it's kind of a turn off for me.
Yeah. It's a turn off for me. Yeah. I, cause if I'm just trying to think of the other way where it's like, if my girlfriend just kept like putting my hand to their crotch, I would be like, again, like I don't see it. The reason I brought up like the consensual part is because I don't think he sees it that way, considering you guys are in a relationship. And I know I'm treading into waters that are like tough to talk about for people, and I understand that. And this is a kind of a,
right,
you know, like I understand.
He might think she's into it, perhaps.
He's thinking, if she put my hand on her crotch, I'm like, this is hilarious, and yeah, let's start making out. You know, like I don't, this shouldn't be a joke, but I can understand in his, like, I don't think he's looking for a reaction to be disappointed. Like, I don't think he was like
he's if not it's doing emotional, it with the intention of disappointing you.
Yeah, no, it feels like he's doing it with the intention of like, hey, how funny is this? Or, hey, are you in the mood too? And he's kind of taking being in a relationship as an overarching sign of consent. And that's not the truth.
Right. Yeah. So I would start off in a friendly way. When you do this, it makes me uncomfortable. I'd really rather you like really read the situation before you initiate that. And then if the way he responds to that, I think will tell you everything.
Totally. And if this is a joke to you, this isn't a joke to me. It annoys me every time you do it. You know,
it disappoints me.
Well, Jordana, we did it again. As
this is
always
great. Yeah.
This was great. We solved dating. Listen, if you're listening right now, that means you like the show. Here's what we want you to do. Make your Instagram story. Tell a friend, a coworker, a brother, a sister, a mama, a papa. The Sunday episodes, the response has been unbelievable. I see the response. I feel the response. Jordana, you do too, right?
We love it. Yeah.
We love it.
Check them out on Sundays, every Sunday and Wednesday. We'll see you next week.
Boom.
You Up is hosted by Jared Fried.
And Jordana Abraham. Our editor is Sean Kilby.
Social media by Abby Lloyd. Artwork by Brittany Levine.
Our podcast managers are Mike Coscarelli and Sean Kilby. Be sure to follow us at UUPpod on Instagram and email your questions to UUP@Betches.com.
Betches.